Okay, let's get it. It is Locked On LSU, your team every day. I'm Matt Moscona. Glad to have you aboard with us here. You can catch me weekday afternoons, ESPN Radio, Baton Rouge, New Orleans, Alexandria, TV simulcast on Cox Sports TV. LSU preseason number 6 in the AP poll. We will get to that. Also, some player commentary from Monday's practice. We'll get your practice report. And we'll do some Q&A as well. Also, some great news for a former LSU baseball player who has made it to the show. So we'll get to that on today's episode also. So we'll start, though, with the preseason top 25, LSU preseason number 6, and probably about where they should be: Clemson, Bama, Georgia, Oklahoma, Ohio State, LSU, and then Michigan, Florida, Notre Dame, and Texas rounding out the top 10. So I'm not a big believer in the preseason polls. If I had my druthers, there would be no poll released until October, when the college football playoff poll is first released. When you've played 5 weeks or 6 weeks of football at that point, then you have a much better shot of, or a much better gauge of who is where. For example, a year ago, both Miami and Auburn started the season in the top 10. Both finished the season unranked. As a matter of fact, Chris Felica, who's the bear from ESPN's College Game Day, he tweeted that every year since 2002, this is an amazing statistic, every year since 2002, there has been at least one team ranked in the preseason top 10 that finished the season unranked. So if history holds, one of the teams that I just mentioned is going to finish unranked. Now, I don't think that's going to be LSU. I think they've got far too much talent, and I think the schedule falls in their favor. I know there's some LSU fans that might point to Texas as potentially that team, as an overrated, overhyped team. Texas is preseason number 10. But when you look at Texas's schedule, it's hard for me to imagine Texas finishing the season unranked. I mean, if you go look at their schedule, even if you concede losses to LSU and to, let's say, Oklahoma, which is a neutral site game, they open against Louisiana Tech, then they play LSU, then they're home against Rice and Oklahoma State, they're at West Virginia, who of course loses a ton and has a new coach, then they play Oklahoma in their neutral site game, they've got Kansas at TCU, Kansas State at Iowa State, Baylor, and Texas Tech. They only have 3 ranked teams on the whole schedule: LSU, Oklahoma, and Iowa State. That's it. One of them's at home, one's away, and one's a neutral site game. So even if they lose all 3 of those games, you're still talking about a team that probably finishes 9-3, and they're going to be ranked. The teams that I would look at, you know, as most likely to finish the season unranked if they're in the top 10, I would say you look at Notre Dame and Tech and Michigan. Michigan's at number 7. Notre Dame is number 9. Michigan plays 6 ranked opponents. Everyone keeps looking at the fact that they get Ohio State at home, and maybe this is the year that Jim Harbaugh and his crew turn the corner, but they also have 6 ranked opponents on their schedule, 3 home, 3 away. That's a brutal look, and that's the team that I would circle and say they could be the one that finishes the season unranked. But as for LSU, they were back on the practice field on Monday after this news of the preseason poll. And the only thing about a preseason poll, though, that to me is super significant is the fact that it sets a glass ceiling. So if you are, let's just spitball here. Let's say you're Stanford. Stanford is number 25 in the preseason poll. If Stanford goes unbeaten through the Pac-12, or let's say they're a one-loss team, if Clemson and Bama remain undefeated and Georgia, Oklahoma are either undefeated or one-loss team, or Ohio State or LSU are undefeated one-loss team, Stanford is not going to be able to jump those teams ahead of them. Like, there's a glass ceiling set for them at this point. So I don't like that aspect of the preseason poll. Other than that, I think it's largely inconsequential. It makes for more theater in the beginning of the season. LSU and Texas will be a top 10 matchup, and that's intriguing. We get to watch Florida and Miami this Saturday in Florida's preseason number 8, so you get to see a top 10 team play, you know, here in the early going. You get to see Auburn and Oregon play in week 1. Oregon's number 11, Auburn's number 16, so you get a ranked matchup. So as you bill it, it looks better, but realistically, it doesn't matter a whole ton other than potentially keeping some teams out that are ranked lower and preventing them from having a real legit chance of climbing higher. All right, it's Locked On LSU, your team every day. So number six LSU was back on the practice field on Monday, as were Justin Jefferson and Caleb Onchason, a couple of players that missed the scrimmage from this past weekend. First of all, here's Justin Jefferson talking about why he missed the scrimmage.
Yeah, it gave me a little day off, man. Been working hard every day at practice, so they said they wanted to rest my legs. The season is coming up, so they just want to give me a little day off.
Give him a day off. It's like a veteran day off in the NFL or like you see in Major League Baseball. I think it's smart. I love it. I am all 100% for it. The old school mentality of push harder, drive harder, play through it. It's just antiquated. When you have a 12-game regular season schedule over 14 weeks, you throw a month of camp in there and then bowl practices as well. Keep guys fresh, especially veteran guys who you know what they can do. Joe Burrow, we know what he can do. Here was Justin Jefferson talking about what he's seen from Burrow in this camp as opposed to a year ago.
He's definitely more comfortable. He had more time to work with us this year instead of coming in the summertime last year. So us working with each other for a whole year and plus and more, we have that connection even more than we had last year.
Justin Jefferson, preseason All-SEC. I've said it before. I'll say it again. I believe Joe Burrow is a 3,000-yard, 20-touchdown guy in 2019. I think there's a lot of reason to be optimistic around a fifth-year senior quarterback who is in his second full season starting, a full year acclimating with these players. I think all is well on the LSU offensive front, at least provided everybody stays healthy. And, of course, they got to get the offensive line sorted out. But I'm a believer in what Joe Burrow will be able to do in 2019. One more, Caleb Onchason met with the media and talked about the defense being more aggressive.
Definitely showing. I feel like the previous system we was running, it was a great system, don't get me wrong, but I feel like this system shows more of the athletic ability that we recruit in. You know, it's more as attacking and using a God-given ability that some they're not blessed with. So it's, this new system that we run is definitely helpful for in all aspects of the defense, just as far as penetration, speed, size, strength, and we're using it to the right way.
And for what it's worth, Chasson on Monday was named a first-team preseason All-American by ESPN. That is major praise considering this is a guy that played one game a year ago and had five tackles and one sack, and as a freshman played in 12 games and had 27 tackles. So you're talking about a guy who in his career has had 32 tackles and three sacks, and the fact that he has this type of praise already for him built up over guys like the pair of edge rushers from Syracuse who each had 10 sacks a season ago and are the top returning sack artists of a year ago in college football. And the fact that Chasson gets the preseason All-American nod tells you the hype extends much beyond Baton Rouge. Okay, it is Locked On LSU, your team every day. We'll knock out a quick break, come back. A former baseball Tiger has been called up to the show. We'll tell you who, and we'll get your practice report from Monday. Locked On LSU, your team every day. We continue Locked On LSU, your team every day. Glad to have you hanging out with us here. Got some great news from a former Tiger who has been called up to the show in Major League Baseball. We'll get you an LSU football practice report as well here in just a quick second. But got to remind you about Locked On Fantasy Football. Make sure you're listening to Vinny Iyer, Locked On Fantasy Football. Vinny gives you the edge with more than 20 years covering fantasy football. Don't listen to the same stuff as everyone else. Get the edge from Vinny. That'll put you ahead on draft day and put you ahead all season long. It's Locked On Fantasy Football on your favorite podcast provider. So congrats to former LSU Tiger Jake Fraley, who has been called up in the Seattle Mariners organization. He is the team's number 8 prospect. That's per MLB Pipeline. And he'll join the team for the series in Tampa. So he's been added to the 40-man and active roster. So Fraley was not in the starting lineup for Class AAA Tacoma on Monday, obviously heading to Tampa to join the big club there. So Fraley had been expected to be called up for the homestand on August 4th against the Padres, but he had some tightness in his quadriceps, so that put him on the injured list, so that postponed the move. He returned on August the 12th and has had 9 hits in his last 6 games, including three doubles and two homers. So, if you're keeping score at home, in 38 game with the Rainiers, Fraley is batting .276. He's got 12 doubles, three triples, eight homers, and 33 RBI. Look, Fraley's 24 years old, and the interesting thing is that he was acquired in the offseason from the Rays organization in exchange for Mike Zunino, Guillermo Heredia, and Michael Plassmeyer. So it's interesting, and he was also acquired with another prospect as well. So it's interesting that he was a former second-round pick of the Rays in 2016, dealt with some injuries early in his career, but impressed in spring training, got off to a hot start with Class AA, their Arkansas club, where he hit .313, 15 doubles, 2 triples, 11 homer, 47 RBI. He was promoted to AAA Tacoma, again, having been an all-star, and now is headed up to the show. So congrats to Jake Fraley. He will make his Major League debut with the Mariners against the Rays, and we wish him well. All right, it's Locked On LSU, your team every day. Oh, by the way, he will join a former LSU Tiger, Austin Nola, who also made his Major League debut this year, as we all know, with the Mariners. So a really cool couple of former Tigers of different era. They didn't overlap at all, but they'll be playing together there in Seattle with the Mariners. So on Monday, real quick practice report, LSU was indoors. They had their scrimmage, of course, on Saturday, and so they just went helmets, no pads on Monday, really took it easy. Maybe the best news is that nose tackle Apuaika returned after missing much of last week with an undisclosed injury. As we know, Aika and Tyler Shelvin are really a two-man rotation at nose tackle, and when you talk about guys that tip the scales at 340, 350 pounds or more, you need guys that can rotate to stay fresh. So good news that Apuaika's back. Also, Chasen Hines was in attendance. That's good news. He's kind of been on and off the field all camp. He had surgery on a knee earlier this year, which caused him to miss spring. So he's just kind of been on again, off again with it. If it bothers him, they give him some time off. Now, Damian Lewis, the other projected starter, he remains absent, and there's been no indication of when Lewis will return. We talked about this a bit yesterday because my contention is if Hines and Lewis are both healthy and flanking Cushenberry at center, you've got a good interior of your offensive line. Your tackles have to improve from a year ago, but that's a good, solid interior core of your offensive line. But that's contingent upon them being healthy. Christian Fulton also did not participate in practice on Monday. He returned to practice last week, missed much of the first 3 weeks of camp with an injury related to the foot surgery he had back in January, and then did not scrimmage this past weekend. Again, totally fine as long as he's good to go a week from Saturday when LSU is in Tiger Stadium against Georgia Southern, or more importantly, 2 weeks from Saturday when they're in Austin against the Longhorns. Okay, it's Locked On LSU, your team every day. Final break. We'll come back and we'll do a little Q&A. Glad to bring that back here on a Tuesday edition of the Locked On LSU podcast. Your team every day. The new Locked On NFL podcast is fire. Last week, one of the most listened to NFL shows with expert analysis of former NFL scout Matt Williamson and hosted by Brian Peacock. Locked On NFL, your daily national podcast on all things NFL with Matt's unique take on the game. Follow Locked On NFL now on your favorite podcast provider. This is Locked On LSU. We ask that you subscribe to us as well. That would be a massive, massive help. Rate us on iTunes. That all helps tremendously. If you find us on a social network, share it, retweet it. All that helps tremendously. So thank you, thank you, thank you. LSU basketball, real quick, by the way, they are back on the court in Spain today, Tuesday, and tomorrow on Wednesday. So they'll play. It's odd. They'll play at 11 a.m. Central Time on Tuesday and then 5:30 a.m. Central Time on Wednesday. It's 6 o'clock and then 12:30 in Spain. So 6 p.m. and then 12:30 p.m. in Spain. But it'll be 11 a.m. today, Tuesday, Central Time, and 5:30 a.m. tomorrow. So tomorrow's episode, we actually should be able to recap both games for you because the Wednesday game will be played so early. Curious to see how the Tigers look with coming off really split performances. A very hard-fought game against the Dominican Republic All-Star squad which they lost by 4, and then they just blew out the Valencia All-Stars by 30 on Saturday. So two more games for the Tigers in Spain, and then they head home. Again, we'll keep you posted on tomorrow's episode of how those games went. So let's get to some of your Q&A to wrap up here on the Locked On LSU podcast. If you're not familiar, get to my Facebook page. It's at Matt Moscona AFR. Set notifications when we go live. You can jump aboard with us and get your questions answered real time. So this is an interesting one right out the chute from Alvino Frazier, who said, Matt, is it possible when LSU faces Utah State, it could be a ranked match? They're not that bad this year, and the quarterback is very elite. Actually, yeah, it is possible. So Utah State opens with Wake Forest. After Wake Forest, they'll play Stony Brook, San Diego State on the road, they're home against Colorado State, and then they come to Baton Rouge. So if they can win their opener against Wake Forest on the road, then very likely they'll be 4-0 coming to Baton Rouge and possibly a ranked team. That's an interesting matchup when you look at that possibility in the non-conference. Steven Bro asks, how much does Cardell Thomas affect the O-line play and rotation this year? So if you haven't heard yet, Cardell Thomas, season-ending injury in practice last week. As far as the starting offensive line, I don't think it affects it at all. Because as we've talked about, Cushenberry at center, Hines and Lewis at guard, you feel really good there. If Hines and Lewis are out, not having Cardell Thomas obviously eliminates one of your best options as a backup. So on practice on Monday, you had Badara Traora and Adrian McGee as your starting guards in place of Hines and Lewis. Now, Traora, you might remember last year, was brought in as the number one JUCO offensive tackle and was expected to compete to be the starting left tackle and couldn't win that job. They kicked him to right, couldn't win that job. Well, he played guard in the scrimmage this past weekend, and by all accounts and people who were there, played really well at guard. So maybe they found more of a natural fit for Traora at this level at guard. But still, you're going to be asking guys, if Lewis and Hines are not healthy, you're going to be asking guys that haven't done it to perform really well there at that position. Matthew Daigle asks, do you think LSU goes into Alabama undefeated? Matthew, I do not. I don't want to be the Debbie Downer, but I think, as I've said, I think LSU finishes 10-2 this year. I do think they lose at Alabama. I think if you ask me what's the other game that they could lose, I think you look at three. I think, Texas on the road, obviously, is LSU's now a one-point underdog in that game. But Florida, October the 12th, Auburn, October 26th, and Texas A&M, November the 30th. I would think one of those games they lose. If you made me pick it today, I would probably say the Florida game. Because Florida returns a ton from a year ago. They got questions on the offensive line, but got a veteran quarterback. They returned basically all their skill guys, 9 key contributors on defense. And Dan Mullen and Todd Grantham have just given LSU fits. Let's call it what it is, man. They've owned LSU of late. So Grantham at Louisville, at Mississippi State, and now at Florida, just his defenses have been a tough riddle to solve for LSU. And if I had to pick one, that would be it. Now, LSU is going to be favored at home in that game. Make no mistake. But if I had to pick one, and how about one more? Joshua Matern says, how does LSU have no other centers? They don't recruit that position. Well, they do. And last year, they signed a really good center prospect out of Mississippi named Cole Smith. Well, Cole Smith lost that job. He was trying to win it as a true freshman, got beat out by Lloyd Cushenberry. Cushenberry obviously has 2 more years to play. So Cole Smith this offseason entered the transfer portal and left LSU. So there is no natural backup at center for LSU since Cole Smith left. So they're cross-training different guys there to play that position potentially, which really is what Cushenberry did. Cushenberry didn't sign with LSU as a center, but he settled into that position nicely. And, there's a sort of a disappointing note from the weekend is that, LSU was – there's a kid from Warren Easton, a center. named Cedric Van Pran, who is a four-star, the number three center prospect in the country, you know, 6'4", 305. And he committed to Georgia over the weekend over LSU. So that's not over. It's not over until signing day. But that for LSU at a position where they desperately need some depth, to lose out on an in-state kid like that who's the number three player in the state of Louisiana for this class, that's a bit disappointing. But, again, long way to go still until the December signing period to see if they can get back in on Cedric Van Pran of Warren Easton. All right, that's going to do it for us here for a Tuesday edition of the Locked On LSU podcast. Please share it, rate us on iTunes, subscribe. All that's a giant help. Tomorrow we'll get another practice report for you, and we'll know how the Tiger Hoops team did in their games today and tomorrow morning in Spain. Until then, Locked On LSU, your team every day.